Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I'd just like to pray and ask that you could be with us just now as we spend a little bit of time together. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would be here and help us to speak about and talk about what you have in mind for us, so that when we leave here this time, we're able to reach out and help others that you intend for us to serve and help. We know that you're coming soon, and our ultimate goal is to help others to do the same. And thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for listening to this prayer and guiding us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, now, getting involved with outreach. I written here, reaching out and helping others is a blessing to the people you help, but also to yourself. And just think about that for a minute. I'm not trying to say to be selfish, but I run around sometimes like a headless chook, you know, trying to do 50 things at once, as everybody does seems to do here. And you forget about the blessing you get to for yourself. You think, why am I doing this? And you pull your hair out and you think, you know, I could, because you're doing it as a volunteer. I do my work as a volunteer. And I hate the word health director. I like his health ministries, because it's a ministry. You know, it's just such a blessing to serve God. And sometimes you think, this is not much of a Sabbath if you organize something on the Sabbath, or I've got kids, so I think I'm not being a good mum. The washing's out of, you know, what, I haven't done that properly, and you know, have they been fed properly? And all these things sort of mess through your mind, trying to figure out how to fit things in. But it seems to be when the program's over, or whatever the event was that you coordinated, the blessings seem to flood in. You realize, oh, that person was made well, or on the path to it at least, or you might have worked with another person that you didn't know very well, another volunteer from the church. They just said, look, I'd like to help, and maybe they're a greeter at the door, whatever their job was. You got on better with them and suddenly formed a new friendship. All these unexpected blessings seem to come out of outreach. So I'm just letting you know that there is enjoyment to the thing as well. So there are going to be moments where it feels like just like plain hard work. What am I doing? I hope that you'll remember back that it can be really enjoyable and a blessing. And as you build on it layer by layer, like a wall and a fountain, like Nehemiah's water, one brick at a time, you'll find the blessings are very rich and rewarding, and it gets a little bit addictive at times. You know, like, I don't know if you've ever tried running, you think, what am I doing this for? But if you keep it up, it actually, you're walking, you kind of want to keep doing it. It's a bit like this. So I'm hoping to not put you off, but to let you know that it actually is very rewarding and an amazing blessing to reach out. So reaching out and helping others is a blessing to the people you help, but also to yourself as you work to serve God within the sphere of your influence you have. So you've got to remember, it's the people you know, not ones I know or whatever, it's the ones that you have in your life. There'll be many trials and issues that are likely to come your way. If you plan well and keep the goal in sight, whatever the goal might be that you're planning to run, you and your team can achieve amazing things for God. Remember to pray with your team and reassess your pathway on the journey, checking regularly that you're still on the right track, because it's so easy to diverge and get lost. Okay, we'll go over those few things in a moment. First of all, what is an outreach program? What is that?
Connecting with people who are involved with them.
Yeah. Anybody else?
I think it's where the church meets the community.
Yeah.
Or the community meets the church.
Yeah.
The ministry.
Yes, that's true. Something I do want to say about outreach is we often think that, you know, what's the purpose of an outreach? Is to get a bunch of baptisms? Is that it? Because sometimes you can get a bunch of baptisms and then the people aren't necessarily looked after and then they disappear through the cracks. So for me, and I don't know if I should even say this here, but for me, inreach and outreach go together. So people inside the church are just as important as people outside the church. So I just want to say that, and that's one of my bugbears. When I'm at a conference meeting, we're all talking about how many baptisms did this pastor get, all that. I would say, you know, what about the people inside the church? They're hurting, and we want to keep feeling loved. So it's really important that your approach is what you believe in. So for me, I don't have a problem if somebody says, yes, but more church people came. I say, good, we need them too. We need everybody. So we all tend to find a lot of people get caught up with, oh, we want to bring the people in off the streets. But I want you to remember to look after those you already have under your wing, because some of them have, and probably everyone has a story to tell. And on Sabbath morning, we say, how are you doing? And they go, fine. And if we could just see the baggage, the invisible baggage that they're carrying behind them on a big string, realize they're not fine, and so they need these programs as well.
If you, I think if you're effective, outreach is going to be effective. You have to have a strong, connected church. working together. So if you don't work on the inreach and get that all sorted out and supported, then bringing people in as a waste of time, he said, they'll just go.
Absolutely.
They'll see the cracks and they'll be gone.
Good point, good point. I agree with that entirely. All right, so you've probably heard of some of the programs. I'm going to put a quote around that. Programs, we've got CHIP, which is Complete Health Improvement Program. Have you all heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
And Depression and Anxiety Recovery Program. You heard of that one? Forgive to Live and Live More. And there's a whole lot of other ones out there. The thing is it doesn't matter what the program is that you think you might want to use. So I tend to think of the CHIP program. I've been doing that 10 years now. I trained in November, like 10 years ago. I tend to think of that as, you know, just a solid lifestyle medicine program. The problem is people can quickly convert that one into a carrots and bananas program and a big B program where you've, and I've had people come up to me and say, oh, that's where you're trying to lose weight, or that's where you're trying to turn people into vegans. And it's none of those things. So as educators or people going out there on an outreach situation, you have to be careful of some of these little comments that come from the cracks. Then they can potentially set off a bushfire or put people off coming to these programs because they don't realize that's not what it's about. All these programs, all of them are just like an educational tool. It's what you do with them that makes a difference. Do you know what I mean? So think of the programs that you do as an opportunity to give the education to the person. Then when they've collected that piece of education, they can do what they like with it. They might want to go all out, be plant-based, and they may end up being the big V, you know. But that's not what you're there for. They might lose weight and have to go and get a new wardrobe, but that's not what the programs are about. None of them are about that. Even depression and anxiety, we hope that people will have mental wellness. But the point is to give them the education. And as a presenter, we are not the,
3 minutes.
Oh, thank you. Oh, we haven't been given very long. As a presenter, we are not the experts. It's the one that we're often presenting. Oh, thank you, too. Okay, 2 minutes. So in the case of depression and anxiety, it's Dr. Nevy that is the expert, and you basically are there facilitating or directing the program and looking after your people. So because we've only got 2 minutes, I could go on about each program in a way like that, but really what I want to do is draw your attention to some of these. Because we've only got 2 minutes left, you'll probably have to do a bit of this at home. But I've got the acronym down the side of the page there that says Outreach, and O standing for Only God. I put that there because, for me, I want to remember the reason that I'm doing this is for the Lord, and sometimes we can be distracted by other people's opinions and comments and get off that track. So for yourself, if you can just come back to that and say, you know, I'm doing this for God, and it's okay, and you can move on. So it's just a little reminder. You, understanding your target audience, are you doing it for a complete community? Is it going to end up being the majority of church, because that's the way it works out sometimes? Are you doing it for a group of solo mothers on a Wednesday morning? Do you know, so you have to know what your audience is. What are you doing the program for? So that when you reach out, you know what the target is for. You will have a few outliers or other people that will come and join in that aren't the mainstream, and you can look after them, but you need to know what your audience is when you're planning a program, okay? And then we have T. I'm rushing through this. I'm sorry for talking so fast. T, I've put for trust God and prayer to direct and guide you every step of the way. So even though O says you're only doing for this for God, I feel like if you come back to that comment up there that says reassess your pathway on the journey by checking regularly and praying with your team, that I cannot say how vital that is. When you've got a program, try and arrive a little few minutes early and get together with your team and say a prayer. Give them a hug if they need a hug, if they want that, because sometimes they're having a struggle too and they're willing to help. They said they'd be there, but this particular night's not so good for them. They wish they hadn't said yes. So if you're just there supporting them, it can make a big difference, if you know what I mean. And then we've got R, remember to ask others for help when you're in need. Sometimes things don't go as planned and you need somebody's help. So I do with IT all the time, and I need to know, you know, how to get it right in there. So ask people for help. And E, encourage people where they are at. Now this is more to do with your participants, it could be for your helpers as well. But you get participants and they might not know anything about what you're talking about. Don't expect them to go from where they are to what you're talking about overnight. Some people can take years, and it's a big journey for everybody. And for yourself, it will be too. As you try to implement any of these programs, I mean, as you run them, you will need to, you know, keep a check on yourself. Are you doing them yourself too? And we fall back. We have things happen in our lives that mess us up and we fall by the way. So just check that you're staying on track with that too. A, Allow plenty of time for preparation. I guess that's really, really important to think about that. Really need that time. Otherwise, you end up with things happening that you don't expect. Changes and tweaks, always likely at the last minute. And I'll just say, Satan, make sure of that. Something usually happens at the last minute that shouldn't. And the last one, have a contingency plan. Have a contingency plan so that if something does go wrong, you've got kind of a backup, especially to do with helpers that are working for you. Make sure that you have that. Now, before we go any further, have you got any specific questions that you wanted to ask today? Because I've only been given such a short time, and I've been able to explore individual programs or anything.
So, for me, it's really getting the people in the church to help.
Yes.
You know, there just doesn't seem to be an interest.
Yes, it seems to be quite normal. It's almost like a cancer. Most churches are sort of not realizing how important health is. And the best thing to do is to live it and just be there, a smiling face, and get involved with some programs and advertise and do one. Once you get one program up your sleeve, whatever it might be, Forgive to Live is a really good way to start, by the way. It's a very good program. But whatever program that you get going and up your sleeve, it gets you started. People get to know you and trust you, and they'll tell somebody else. And that's, you start slow, but you build up.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.